This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagir.
Who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, my name is Matt Tucker. I've been in the medtech industry for over 20 years. I've led medical device, pharma, contract services, businesses at all sorts of startups, Baxter Healthcare, Mylan Pharmaceuticals, and Highmark Health. Also have a commercial advisory business helping startup companies or programs launch and relaunch brands, portfolios, and services successfully. And then lastly, about a year ago, I published a book called The Selfish Career that's available on Amazon. You know, essentially all of these experiences are fundamentally about user adoption as the primary concern. And the other activities that are done are really just in support of that fundamental thing. And in most of the roles that I've had have been in the surgical medical device arena and in healthcare, which really requires a careful approach to user adoption because they're regulated products.
Matt, how are you involved with user adoption?
Yeah, that's a great question. The bulk of my roles have been centered on user adoption. So the greatest value that I'm adding to a company is thinking through how they're going to identify all of the different customers that exist in the buying process, and then how to educate each one that may, you know, end up involving facilitating a trial, getting them to a buy decision, and then unlocking how to make sure that customer keeps coming back. My job is to design the strategy for how that's going to happen. So not just what story we want to tell the customer, but also when and where we're going to meet that customer to tell them the story, the support we want to give them, and how we influence them through their peers or through third-party advocacy organizations. In healthcare, a number of people are involved in the buying process. So it's not just about adoption by one individual user. I think that people think that healthcare is about the doctors and nurses only. That's who everybody thinks is making the decision, but it's not entirely the case. There are also, you know, health insurers and hospitals, supply chain directors, and contract managers. All of these people are part of the decision-making process and are key players, and you can't ignore any of them. So what's so important about customer adoption in this area is that it can become complex really, really quickly. So at the end of the day, a confluence of factors has to come together, and I have to map that out carefully. Once I've done that, I really start to dig into the needs and attitudes of those individuals. So I want to think about the attitudes and behaviors of each of those customers and start to design how we're going to educate, how we're going to engage them, so it really shows them how the products can make patients feel better, can help them do their job easier, different things like that. And I think that it's important to remember that in a role like this, you can easily get focused on a number, right? Whether it's a sales goal or a number of customers that you're trying to get adoption from. But what's really important is to take a step back and think about how to solve that customer's problems and how to communicate how you can help them solve those problems.
Matt, what are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with user adoption?
Yeah, I'd love to highlight a success story, and you know, a lot of challenges will come out of that story. The biggest turnaround from a customer success, customer adoption perspective I've had was at Mylan Pharmaceuticals. I was leading an anesthesia drug brand that was used for surgery that was nearly 20 years old, and that is like the oldest of the old for pharmaceutical products. Doctors and nurses had completely abandoned the product, and there were just a very small group of users who were still using it consistently, only for one or two types of surgeries. And what we had to do was really reintroduce it with specific directions on how customers could get that value. Once we did it, we saw this explosive growth, but we had to lead the horse to water. And once we did, it was great. You know, one of my greatest learnings from that was that it is possible to retrain how people think about a product I learned that when a product is faltering, often it's because customers don't have a clear picture in their mind about the product and how it solves a problem for them or how it helps them. And when that's unclear, it's easier to reposition or retrain them for that new incremental customer adoption. It's interesting because I've seen so many people say that you can't do that once a customer's perceptions are set. But I think if you truly and authentically take a step back and put yourself in the customer's shoes and try to live a day in their life, you can start to uncover what that product is and how it fits their needs. And after that process, you can go about the work of how to tell the story so they get excited again. That experience was really rewarding, though. You know, leadership set a huge goal that at first myself and my team thought it was just going to be impossible to accomplish. But because we dedicated ourselves to taking a step back and being customer-centric, we were able to do it. You know, when I took that thing over, it was shrinking about 10% a year. Over the course of the next 3 years, we grew it by 70%, though. And during that time, a pharmaceutical marketing trade publication awarded me this brand trailblazer award. But it was really just because I was setting my mentality and thinking through how to best serve the customer and fulfill their needs. You know, helping patients was the reason why I got into healthcare to begin with. And I never got tired of hearing how it was helping, but that was only achieved by, you know, trying to walk in my customer's shoes.
Matt, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
I alluded to it before, where people in these customer adoption roles, commercial roles, even customer service, they start to think about the numbers and the metrics more than how they're helping people. So you have to get out of your own box and instead get out there and live a day as your customer. You know, ideally, it would be great if you could literally do it by shadowing someone or by somehow putting yourself into their environment. Asking questions of customers about what they like and don't like. And I always try to think of it as like being able to do that in an organic way, not doing it in a market research type setting, but trying to get to know your customers more on a personal level and interacting with them in a way that's more natural, and they're going to be more open and honest. You know, I think people have become scared of doing these things. They're scared of asking people that they don't know questions. And I found it to be extremely powerful, and that it gives you the opportunity to connect you to others. And even in a situation today where, you know, you've got COVID and so many people are behind a Zoom meeting, or you're on the phone 100% of the time, and you may not have that physical connection, by going a one step further and trying to connect to them on a level that is really about what they care about, and asking them how they're making decisions and really showing that you care about that, I think is something that can separate you and your conversations from you know, other people and definitely other brands or other companies. So I found that to be just extremely powerful. From a more technical perspective, you know, I think once you've done that kind of research and that kind of interviews, you've got to start segmenting out your customer targets and develop them almost as like avatars that you can see and hear in your mind and in your imagination. And I found that really helps me recall at a moment's notice who I'm trying to serve, and it helps me connect with that person more. You know, when you're honest about it all, right? This stuff is hard work, right? Going out there and stepping outside of your comfort zone, interviewing people or asking that follow-up question that maybe is a little bit uncomfortable or challenges someone's beliefs. You know, these are the things that it takes to learn why your customer makes the decisions that they do. And it can feel a little bit risky. But I think then taking that information and memorializing it, documenting it, and then making decisions using what you have learned, while it takes time and effort, it really is where the payoff is. And it's the thing that separates customer adoption professionals from maybe being good, really, and accelerating them into being great at what they do. Sometimes I guess the old adage is that you have to go slow so you can go fast, right? And I always think about doing the work. It sometimes takes a lot of effort, energy, and maybe it feels slow. But once you set all of that stuff up based on what you know, and you've used it to give you a better tactical plan and connect with your customers better, what you see is that you end up going really fast when you're actually trying to work with the customers to get them to adopt.
Matt, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
Yeah, my website is www.medtech-strategy.com. And I've got a lot of instructive content there. You know, it's definitely geared towards the med tech community, but I think there's so many things that apply generally and broadly outside of med tech. You know, I've also been launching a med tech startup toolkit that'll contain some of this information as well, just to help accelerate startups in healthcare and med tech to launch better and faster. Additionally, I'm very active on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/in/medtechstrat is the quick URL if you want to find me.
Well, thanks, Matt.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.